There's a story that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's a story about a life being destroyed. It's a story about a family struggle with the evils of Satan's rebellion and that of the demons who followed him. It's the story of a father's son who had been possessed by one of these demons. This trial was brutal, and it affected the whole family. Let's begin by turning to Mark 9 and verse 14, please. Mark 9 and verse 14. So we pick up that story. Jesus has just come down from the mountain, and he finds finds the scribes arguing with his disciples. And Christ asks them, "What is this arguing all about?" Immediately, a man cries out from the crowd and calls out from the crowd, and we'll start reading verse 17. He says, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Then they brought him to him," being Christ, "and when they saw him immediately, and when he saw him immediately, the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.'" This is a family that's been suffering. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." This is a touching moment. A heartbroken father desperate for the healing of a child, of his child. Now Jesus would rebuke this demon and cast it out of the boy. And not only that, but would command that it would never enter him again. Mark verse 26, "Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples came to him, and they asked him privately, 'Why couldn't we cast it out?' So he said to them, 'This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" We are told that the depth that this demonic grip had on him could only be loosed through spending time focused in prayer and fasting. As we prepare to celebrate the Day of Atonement this week, I would like to look at the amazing power that the tool of fasting can have on our spiritual lives as we battle Satan and his influence. Now, for the sake of perhaps a different perspective, let's look at this boy in the story as a type of the world we live in. The boy was created perfect, but a demon had corrupted and destroyed this boy's world. Instead of this boy's world being filled with joy, happiness, peace, and vitality, his world was one of pain, bruises, cruelty, and violence. How awesome that Jesus Christ could change this boy's world in an instant. How awesome that Jesus Christ could remove from that boy the cause of the pain and the anguish and the suffering that that invisible demon had brought into that boy's world and banish that demon forever from coming back or having any more power over him. Imagine this boy's world. And what a contrast now this would be from the life he had always known. Let's turn to Revelation 20 and verse 1. Revelation 20 and verse 1. Sometimes it's hard when you really read these things and you put yourself in these stories. They're powerful stories that are going on. Revelation 20 and verse 1. Here we find, you know, in this world we live in, Satan, the devil, he has filled our world with all sorts and manner of evil. He's the one that the Bible says is responsible for accusing the brethren, for weakening the nations. He's the father of lies. He's a murderer. And the world has endured thousands of years of pain, anguish, suffering, torment, oppression, deception, death, disease, and brokenness at his hand. And on Wednesday, we will fast as we celebrate that great day. We celebrate on that day because we understand it points to a time that Jesus Christ is going to remove not just a single demon and its influence on one man's son, but he will remove the instigator of evil entirely, starting with having Satan bound and his influence on all of mankind removed. Verse 1 of Revelation 20, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished." What a great and awesome day this will be. A day that Leviticus 23 tells us that this day should be celebrated. So we will celebrate that great day of atonement, and we'll long for that day when Satan will be cast out of this world and banished for 1,000 years. As we prepare to fast and celebrate on atonement, we should not only be thinking about Satan's damaging, harmful impact on this world, but also how we each individually are impacted by him. We realize that on our own, we aren't strong enough to prevail, but thankfully God gave us powerful tools. As we practice the tool of fasting on this coming day of atonement, it's an appropriate time to look at Satan's impact and influence on us, and use this fast as a time to draw near to God, humble ourselves before him, and ask for God's help in removing Satan's influence from our lives. Let's turn to one final scripture. We'll turn to James 4. I love the book of James. It is so densely packed with awesome instruction, and it's in 5 easy chapters to read. It's one of my favorite books, if not my favorite. James 4 and verse 1. "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses," talking about in the sense of cheating on God, "do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Satan has been so successful in his deceit and manipulations that we have all sorts of ugliness still inside of us. Utilizing the powerful tool of fasting can help us in seeing ourselves clearly. Verse 5, "Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, 'The spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace.' Therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Fasting helps to humble us. We become very aware of our physical weaknesses and our dependence on God. Fasting with humility allows us to see how badly we've missed the mark and our desire to align ourselves and submit ourselves to God. This is a choice that is in direct opposition to Satan and his pride that wanted to be like the Most High and wanted to take that for himself. Verse 7, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." On our own, Satan would crush us. Satan is so much more powerful than you and me. But fasting helps us to draw near to God, to repent and be at one with God. Then it's not on our strength, but on the strength of Jesus Christ and God the Father, who are so much stronger than Satan, we are able to stand and resist the devil. It continues, "Clean your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." It's saying, clean up your lives, both outward and inward. And it uses the word double-minded, which is a Greek word meaning two-spirited. It's saying you can't serve two masters. This fast and Day of Atonement is a day for getting out the influences of the evil spirit being that we don't want to serve. Getting him out of the places in our lives where we've allowed him to occupy and filling ourselves with righteousness so there's no more room for him to come back in. Verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. The word lament here in the King James is translated, be afflicted. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. The Day of Atonement is a day we do afflict our souls. On this day of fasting, we need to not just go hungry, but to humble ourselves, to see how Satan's influences have tripped us up and how we have fallen short, and to see our need to be sorrowful for those mistakes and to repent for our sins and then the need to change. Brethren, there was a boy who had grown up in a world full of pain, anguish, fear, and torment due to the physical effects that a demon had on him. Jesus Christ removed and banished that demon out of his life and taught the disciples an important principle about prayer and fasting. On Wednesday, during a day of fasting, we are excited to celebrate this time when Jesus Christ will remove and banish Satan and his influences out of the lives of this entire world. It's important to understand what a powerful tool fasting can be. The disciples didn't know how to use it, and they couldn't get rid of that demon. Fasting can help us remove the strongholds of Satan's influences in our lives, but only if we use it. Let's utilize this Day of Atonement to examine ourselves, because some things only come out by prayer and fasting.